asked Brenda how she felt about the Lord's Prayer. What did it mean to her? And she said, it's about forgiveness. It's also about debts, isn't it? A lot about debts. We're all in debt. When I stuck the key in the ignition of my sports car when I was exploring the Smoky Mountains, there's a beautiful spot in those Smoky Mountains where Tennessee and North Carolina meet. And the valleys are high, but they're deep. And I was enjoying the clear weather and the beautiful change of fall season. Golden orange everywhere. There's a little white church, like in the Dell, little white church. Something within me said, this is Sunday. You've already been to church on Saturday. This is Sunday. Why don't you just drive down in that parking lot? You can be completely obscure and go in and listen to that sermon. I got there just a little bit late, but the speaker, the pastor of that church, hadn't started talking yet. And when he was through with his sermon, and I don't remember any of his sermon, not because I didn't listen, I just don't recall it, because what happened next was too powerful. He asked the congregation to sing the Lord's Prayer. And I thought, that's kind of appropriate. Pastors don't do that too often, have the whole congregation after the sermons sing the Lord's Prayer. But as I contemplated those words, the word hallowed, stuck in my mind. It stuck in my mind so much that when he asked us all to go outside to this beautiful patio potluck picnic after church, I had a chance to meet the head elder, and the head elder and I became immediately bonded together because we were talking about 9/11. And I said, you know, I have a book in my car that might interest you. I said, it's called The Great Controversy. And boy, I said, we sure are into it. He said, yes, I'd be interested in taking a look at that book. So I had just returned from my car and handed him The Great Controversy when the pastor that asked us to sing the Lord's Prayer came and sat down beside me. And he asked me where I was from, and I said, Oregon, long ways away at that time. And he was curious that I picked that morning to sit there with him. Well, I said, you know, Pastor, I said, that was really unusual that you asked the congregation to sing the Lord's Prayer. And I said, I love that song. I've sung it many times back in Laurelwood Academy, et cetera, in Portland, Oregon. And I said, but there was one word that really stuck in my mind. He said, what was that? I said, it's the word Hallowed. Hallowed. Well, we're familiar with Halloween, but we're not very familiar with Hallowood. Hallowed. And I said, how many times in your knowledge does that word appear in the Bible? And since I've asked that question, I found that there is a somewhat frequent comment on it in the Bible, but it's still rare. He said, I don't know. He said, I think that the union between husband and wife is hallowed by God. I said, yes, it is hallowed by him, but he didn't put the word with it. I said, there's one outstanding spot in the Bible besides the Lord's Prayer that's hallowed. I said, it was hallowed from the time of creation. I said, do you know what that is? And he said, no, I can't think of what it is. I said, it's the seventh-day Sabbath. Here I'm an Adventist guest giving a Bible study to the pastor on the word hallowed. He said, that's interesting. He said, I'll have to go home and give that some thought. Now, that's where it ended, right there. But what was interesting is now the head elder had the Great Controversy, and he had the seventh-day Sabbath from a hallowed standpoint. And I think, how ingenious is the Holy Spirit. When we stick that key in the ignition, we need to sometimes ask God to lead us to the unknown so we have a chance to speak in a tongue that we didn't intend to that day. Anyway, it's such an honor for Christ to have told his disciples, when you talk to the Father, because they asked him, how do we talk to your Father? He said, he's not my Father. He is our Father. What an intimate thing to share with his disciples, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Guess what? When he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," he, the Savior of the world, was probably seeing in his mind Calvary. And he was seeing in his mind that his kingdom, his Father's kingdom and his kingdom, had already come. It was already there in their presence. It had already happened. It was not just the waiting kingdom. He was the King of Kingdoms. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power